finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
What's going on?
What do you mean?
I'm your brother. Whatever it is, you can tell me.
It's all right, really.
Okay.
One more chapter and we'll take a break. Get help!
Whoever did this, I want them dead or in custody by the time the Russians get here.
I would ask that you consider postponing the signing of the treaty, sir.
No.
Absolutely not.
I think that David was killed because of something he was about to tell me.
He said that it concerned national security and that it involved you.
Was she all right? No, Walt, she's not all right. She's having another one of her delusions.
Is this an interrogation?
I just don't like being lied to.
No one's lying to you, Derek.
Yeah, I'm not hungry.
Sorry. You don't owe me an explanation. If you had wanted to tell me about your past, you would have told me already.
Yeah?
Jack, I know this isn't protocol. Please don't hang up on me. I need your help. They got Tony and Michelle. Michelle is dead. Tony's in critical condition. Now they're gonna kill me.
What the hell are you doing here?
I'm sorry I followed you. I'm just worried about my mother.
You're going with me.
Homer was the primary target.
Set you up. Make it look like you did it.
You're the one that killed Homer.
Yeah.
The following takes place between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Audrey to Bill Buchanan.
The president's retreat is still vulnerable. You need to post two more people here at Delta. It's a high probability point of infiltration.
Who else? That's from somewhere else.
Yeah, Marcy, hi. Can you give me the figures?
Excuse me, sir. Sorry to interrupt.
What is it, Edgar?
We have a visual on the suspect. I thought you might want to know. He may be the Palmer shooter.
Were you able to make an ID?
I think you should see for yourself. About an hour before President Palmer was shot, someone broke into the service entrance of the building across the street, the one the sniper used, with a frame grab from a security video. I ran it through a high-res filter, so it may take a few seconds to render.
Bill looks at the screen. A very vague picture of a man apparently bending down to open a door gradually resolves itself.
Audrey.
Audrey turns to look at the screen. Her expression registers increasing amazement. She moves closer. The image on the screen becomes unmistakably Jack Bauer. She looks at Bill, incredulous.
What is going on here, Jack?
He's setting me up to take the fall for Palmer's assassination.
Palmer's not even president anymore. Why would they want him dead?
I don't know.
You need to get as far away from here as you can. Just disappear.
No, what I need to do is I need to find out who really killed President Palmer.
How are you going to do that?
Start at the beginning. Investigate the original crime scene. David Palmer was visiting his brother when he was shot. Maybe he left something there that can help me.
That's crazy. Palmer was assassinated an hour ago. The place is going to be crawling with Secret Service, FBI, local police.
I need access to a building schematic and an interagency deployment grid. Can you get that for me or not?
Yeah, I should be able to log on remotely from the site.
Okay. Come on, let's go.
Derek, still in shock, slowly turns to Jack.
How could you kill that guy?
Sorry you had to see that. Get in the van.
I'm not going anywhere with you.
You're gonna do exactly what I tell you until I pass you off to your mother.
Let go of me!
Let's get something straight, kid. The only reason you're still conscious is because I don't want to carry you. Now get in the van.
Derek meekly gets in. Jack seems to regret having to be like this, but clearly sees no alternative.
Preliminary analysis indicates the video hasn't been doctored.
Then Jack was in the building the sniper fired from at the same time President Palmer was assassinated.
That's impossible. This whole thing is impossible. Bill, you were there when Jack was shot. He had no pulse, no vitals.
And I have no idea how Jack staged his own death. But I understand his reasons. He was about to be handed over to the Chinese government to spend the rest of his life in prison.
Yeah, but none of that explains why Jack would want to kill David Palmer.
I had Curtis pull the phone logs. Palmer, Tony, and Michelle were all talking to Jack right before he was supposedly killed. Our working theory is that they conspired to help Jack fake his own death.
Now you're saying that Jack was behind the attack on Tony and Michelle, too? Why would Jack want to kill the people who helped him?
Something may have happened. He stopped trusting them to keep a secret.
Jack would never murder his friends.
Audrey. I don't want to believe Jack did this either. But right now, it's the best explanation for the evidence that we have. I'm sorry. The White House needs to know about this.
Yeah, I'll call the president.
Thanks. Bill.
What is it, Curtis?
I had Adamson run a data recovery operation on Tony's phone records. They said Chloe was on those calls with President Palmer and Tony.
Chloe knew Jack was alive?
Apparently.
We called her in an hour ago. She should have been here by now.
I've been trying to call her on a cell, but she's not answering. I wanted to run a locate, but Spencer talked me out of it. If anything happens to her, it's your fault.
Stop. Have Adamson track her cell. We need to get to her before Jack does. Put out an interagency alert. Jack Bauer is now the prime suspect in President Palmer's assassination. Emphasize that he's a former agent, well-trained, and should be considered extremely dangerous.
8:06. President Logan stands in an open doorway at his retreat. Walt approaches Logan from within.
Excuse me, sir.
What is it, Walt?
Mrs. Logan called again. I can't keep putting her off about this phone call with David Palmer.
And why would David Palmer call my wife about a national security threat? That's what she says. He wanted to talk to her about it. A matter of national security.
Maybe if I investigated the phone call.
No, you need to stay focused on the summit.
I am, sir. Which is why we can't risk having Mrs. Logan obsess about this phone call. Showing her the truth might help her get on with her responsibilities today.
So what are you suggesting?
Well, if David Palmer called her yesterday, our communications office will have a recording of their conversation.
Get that for me.
Yes, sir.
And Walt, thank you for doing this.
Mr. President, Audrey Raines is holding on to the
Ms. Raines, this is President Logan. You're also on with Walt Cummings.
Sir, CTU is a suspect in the assassination of President Palmer.
Good. Who is it? Ms. Raines.
It's Jack Bauer, sir.
Jack Bauer is dead.
We've all been living under that assumption, sir.
I don't understand. What makes you think it's Bauer?
CTU has verified surveillance video placing Jack Bauer at the same time in the same building as the sniper who killed President Palmer.
Audrey, this is Walt Cummings. Let me get clear on this. Are you saying that Bauer shot David Palmer?
We're proceeding under that assumption, yes.
Why? For what possible reason?
David Palmer might have known that Jack Bauer was alive, knowledge that he shared with three other CTU agents, all of whom have been targeted in the last hour.
The man does have a history of insubordination, irrational behavior, drug addiction.
Jack Bauer has a history of great service to this country.
How does this affect your threat assessment for the summit?
We're still recommending that you delay or reschedule until Jack Bauer is apprehended.
Ms. Raines, you have a suspect. Find him.
Yes, sir.
Sir. President Suvorov arrives within the hour. Should we think about informing a security chief that he's a potential target?
No. I want this information limited to those who are involved in the manhunt for Jack Bauer. Understood?
Yes, sir.
Logan looks less self-confident than he sounds. At the oil refinery, 8:09.
I found Haas. He and his men are all dead.
How did this happen?
I'm not sure. The last time I spoke to Haas,
he was about to move on Bauer and the woman.
Is there any sign of Bauer now?
No. I'll dispatch a team and track him. We'll have him in 24 hours.
No. Let CTU find Bauer. Once they have him in custody, we'll take him out.
You're not concerned Bauer will impede the operation?
He won't have a chance. We launch in less than an hour.
The speaker is a shadowy figure wearing a Bluetooth. 8:10, end of part one. 8:14. Chloe drives Jack and Derek in the assassin's large white van.
All of their hardware is military spec. Fragmentation grenades, percussion grenades.
There's a comm unit we can use.
Who are these people?
Yeah.
Frank, will you please tell me what's going on?
Diane, I know it's hard, but please try not to worry. Derek is fine. Where are you now?
I'm about a half hour outside of L.A. Just tell me where to meet you.
I don't know yet. Just keep heading towards the city. I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Can I talk to him?
Of course. Hold on. Is your mother? Talk to her. Mom?
Derek, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Are you sure?
Jack, we're about a block away.
Who was that?
She's buddy, mother.
I have to hang out here, Mom.
Don't worry, I'm fine.
Derek, I love you.
Yeah, me too.
Give me the phone. Get to the back of the van. Go.
8:15.
While security agencies are remaining hush, speculation begins to grow. We're told, though, that that speculation will not be addressed because the government says security right now is of utmost importance. Now, look behind me. You'll see the Los Angeles apartment building where President David Palmer was assassinated a little more than an hour ago. You can also see Americans of all ages starting to gather to mourn and
Chloe drives the van up to the barrier by the swarming apartment block. She presents her ID. It and the interior of the van are scrutinized by the agent on duty. Looking extremely nervous, Chloe proceeds slowly past the barrier, among flashing police vehicles and by a knot of soldiers in full body armor and weaponry. She eases the vehicle down the ramp and into the underground car park of the apartment building. She pulls into a bay. She looks around in trepidation and waits for two blue-suited agents to clear the space.
We're clear.
Come on.
Jack and Derek clamber out of hiding.
Hold the light on the back.
Jack gets Derek to shine a torch on the case he opens up. From a small box embedded in protective foam, Jack flips out a small device, which he proceeds to screw into his right ear.
Can you get a wireless access point from down here?
Yeah, I'm reading the agent's transponders. I can track their locations to within 3 feet.
Chloe examines the screen of her laptop, which flashes up the layout of the building. Point after point of light twinkles on the screen.
Jack, there are 167 agents in and around the location, 25 of them in Wayne Palmer's apartment alone.
I know. That's why we better hope that this is going to be the last place they're going to be looking for me.
Chloe throws Jack a look of abject skepticism.
Testing 1-2, testing 1-2-3. Okay. This is a field ops communication unit. All you need to do is put it in your ear and we're set to go.
She obeys. Jack spots a movement outside. Jack gets out and walks over to where a man in an FBI jacket is getting something from the boot of a car. Derek looks on apprehensively.
What?
Relax. He's really good at this.
Jack attacks. The two men disappear behind the car.
You sure he's okay?
Chloe grimaces nervously.
I think.
Jack reappears, now dressed in the blue uniform of the FBI man. Derek swallows hard. Chloe almost manages a vindicated smile. Jack takes a bag from the boot. He cuffs his hand over his right ear.
Chloe, do you copy?
Yeah.
Jack glances back towards the van and then pushes through the door into the stairwell. Chloe busies herself with tracking him on her screen. Jack presses the button for the lift.
Wayne Palmer's apartment is the penthouse.
Going up now.
Jack, there are 4 agents waiting at the lobby. Hold off on going up if you can.
Too late.
Jack makes himself inconspicuous as the lift fills with government agents.
Assassination assembled in a secure location. Stream their interviews to the downtown.
say about the investigation.
They need to be confiscated for frame by frame. The floor indicator light finally changes from 17 to PH. The lift clears. Jack pauses momentarily and then moves discreetly out with downcast eyes. 8:19. He walks through corridors teeming with serious-looking people, his FBI blues seeming to act as a cloak of invisibility. He reaches a junction and sees at the end of a corridor the spacious white-carpeted room in which Palmer died.
Entering the apartment.
Most of the agents are in the living room. That must be where Palmer was shot. There are two rooms to the north, 15 feet, probably bedrooms. They're clear, no agents.
Jack stands on the threshold of the murder scene. Removing his shades, he blinks at the sorry sight. Palmer's body lies beneath a sheet. Only the crown of his head and his right hand, thrown up as he fell, are visible. The carpet beneath the head is soaked in blood. Dismal forensic paraphernalia lie all round, plastic trays, dusting brushes, and small numbered yellow markers. A potent mix of desperate sadness and vitriolic anger in Jack's expression seems about to boil over. He shakes his head, however, and still unable to tear his eyes away from the horrifying scene, he backs through a door and into a side room.
This first room is a study. Let me know if anyone comes this way.
Will do, Jack.
I keep calling him Jack. He told my mother and I his name's Frank. Who is he really?
His name's Jack Bauer. Up until a year and a half ago, he worked for the government.
Is that why we're in the building where the president was killed?
Please don't ask me any more questions.
Can't you at least tell me why I had to pretend he was someone else?
Chloe looks doubtfully at Derek, seemingly torn.
Certain people thought the best way to cover up their mistakes was to get rid of Jack.
You mean kill him?
Yes. Jack had to give up everything and everyone in his life, including his daughter.
He has a daughter?
I've already told you more than I should have.
Chloe, I have a computer in the study booted up.
President Palmer had to use your account.
Is it password secured?
No. There are about a dozen files. Only one of them's encrypted. That's where we want to look.
Okay, give me the computer's IP address. I'll upload a decryption program to it.
Hold on. 292.162.12.2. Someone's at the door.
Not according to the deployment grid. There are no agents there.
Jack gets flat against the wall. A man enters. Jack swiftly grabs him and holds him at gunpoint.
Do not raise your voice.
You son of a bitch. You killed my brother. Mr. Palmer, you know I didn't do that. Whatever evidence they showed you against me has been fabricated. I served your brother for years. I would have gladly given my life for his. He was my friend. The only reason that I am here is to try and figure out why and how he was assassinated. I was hoping to find clues on that computer.
Why don't you step into the next room, Jack, and ask the Secret Service to help you find it?
Because I'm being set up. Whoever's behind this has planted evidence against me, making me the shooter. It would be useless to try and convince the authorities otherwise.
And you think you're gonna convince me?
If I killed your brother, why didn't I kill you when you walked through the door? Think about this, Wayne. Why would I be here? Please. I need your help.
Jack, how do you expect me to believe you under these circumstances? Take the gun.
Jack, what are you doing?
Take the gun.
Jack hands the gun to Palmer's brother, who grasps it and fixes Jack in the sights as if intent on shooting him. Jack holds the man's gaze. Jack turns and goes back to sit in front of the computer screen. Palmer's brother is finally overcome with emotion. His eyes close as his face crumples and he lowers the weapon. 8:24.
David and I first got to know each other when he was elected to Congress. He and Charles never saw eye to eye politically, but David never let that get in the way of our friendship. Oh, that picture's from his inauguration. At the ball, I was one of the first people David asked to dance.
Mrs. Logan, we need a few more minutes with your
hair. I know, I can do it myself. I'm
just trying to help.
Oh, I'm sorry, Evelyn, I know. I'm sorry.
Mrs. Logan, may I have a word?
Of course.
Evelyn withdraws.
The president asked me to look into the call from David Palmer that you told him about.
I was beginning to think you were ignoring me.
So when did this call take place?
Last night. It woke me up. I had fallen asleep watching the news, so it was somewhere between 10 and 11.
Well, I'll have someone pull up the call from the audio archives.
Well, he doesn't believe me, does he, Charles? He thinks I'm making the whole thing up.
I wouldn't say that, Mrs. Logan.
Well, of course you wouldn't say it.
Mrs. Logan.
Well, you can go now.
Walter bays, leaving Martha to her grief.
Did your brother say or do anything out of the ordinary before he was shot?
He's been distracted ever since he came to Los Angeles. I finally called him on it this morning.
What did he say?
He never had the chance to say anything, Jack.
The decryption program's finished running. You should be able to open the file.
Okay, I'm going into it now.
That's the first chapter of his memoir. Doesn't make any sense. Why would he encrypt that? I mean, there are printouts of it all over the place.
Maybe he has some information in the document. We're going to have to compare this to the printout. See if he added or changed anything.
I've got one right here.
You haven't sent the file allocations. What's the problem?
You need a higher level access code. Look, if you're still upset about me and Chloe.
I don't care about that. I care that if you hadn't left her on her own this morning, maybe she'd be okay right now.
Don't you think I know that? Look, you're just making it harder for me to do my job.
Use Chloe's access code, JJ72. You won't get firewall with it.
Thank you.
827. Spencer returns to his workstation and keys in the code as instructed by Edgar. A red box flashes up. System error.
Edgar?
What?
This is weird. I tried logging in under Chloe's access code. The system says I'm already signed in.
Let me see. That's because Chloe's logged in remotely.
Are you sure it's her?
Yes. See the way the traffic's redirected to an external socket? Even I don't know how to do that.
Then she's alive.
Edgar dials from the nearest phone. Audrey sits at a desk. Bill stands close by. He goes to pick up.
Buchanan.
Sir, it's Edgar. I think we can find Chloe.
How?
She's accessing our system to a laptop. I'm running a locate now.
What's she using our system to do?
All I can see from here is she's tracking Secret Service and FBI deployments. The locate came back. She's at Wayne Palmer's building. The signal's faint. It's possible she's in a parking garage under the building.
Let me know if she changes location.
Why would Chloe be at the scene of Palmer's assassination tracking agents?
She wouldn't be, unless someone was forcing her.
What do you mean?
Maybe Jack left evidence behind and needs to erase.
Surrounded by all those agents, Bill, that doesn't make sense.
Well, Jack can explain it to us when we apprehend him. This is Bill Buchanan at CTU. I need to speak to the Secret Service field director immediately.
8:28. End of part two. '32. A group of men in casual clothes unload weapons and electronic devices from crates. One of the gang answers his mobile and speaks to the shadowy figure with the Bluetooth.
Yes.
Have you left yet?
No, we were delayed. We're still loading the truck.
You should be on your way by now.
We'll be there in 20 minutes as planned.
Call me when you're approaching.
Stop. Right there. He added something in the middle of a sentence. A name and an address. There.
Shevensky 16 Transport Way. Chloe, did you get that? It looks like an address.
Yes, Transport Way is a street at the Ontario Airport.
Okay, I want you to check all inbound flights into Ontario. Look for a passenger, Shevensky. Try and make the connection.
Jack, Secret Service is changing its deployment.
How?
Suddenly, there are a lot of agents moving into the building.
Yeah, I'm on my way down. They know that I'm here. Let me help you get out of here, Jack. No, you can't risk being connected to me. And until we know who to trust, you can't tell anybody about what we found. You understand? I'm going to do everything I can to find out who did this to your brother. I'll be in touch.
Jack leaves Wayne alone in the study and lets himself back out into the main room as discreetly as possible. Looking around the corner back towards the lift lobby, he sees a dense crowd of security agents handing round photostated pictures of his own face.
Chloe, I need another way out of here.
Checking. Jack, across the hall through the kitchen. One agent at the door.
Copy that.
8:34. Jack heads down a corridor. A uniformed agent emerges from a side door. Jack deals with him. Jack moves through the kitchen to the rear door. He opens it to see two agents standing at some distance. He slips out and takes up a position behind an angle of wall. The elevator arrives and a uniformed man gets out and walks away. Jack slips inside. He pounds the button for the basement. The lift doors eventually slide shut.
I'm in the elevator. Where are they concentrating their agents?
Jack, they cut off access to my grid. I don't know where the agents are. They were grouping in the lobby.
I'm getting out on the second floor.
Jack runs from the lift and down a corridor. He pushes through the fire door and heads down the stairs. On the next floor down, an armed agent is just coming through the door. Having dealt with the agent, Jack flies off down the stairs again. Chloe sits in the van, biting her lip.
Come on, Jack.
Jack bursts in.
What'd you give me on Shevetsky?
He's not a passenger. He's a baggage supervisor at the airport.
Jack Bauer, Agent O'Brien. The perimeter is sealed. There is no way out. Step into view with your hands in the air.
Armed agents fan out through the car park. 8:36.
We know you're down here. Step into view with your hands in the air. We got a big...
The white van races up the ramp and smashes through the barriers. Colliding with several vehicles above ground, the van tries to make a desperate getaway but is finally hemmed in by police vehicles.
Step out of the vehicle! Check the back. Get the side. Step to your left. Get down on your knees. Cover. Open the back. Bauer's not here. Secure the area.
Chloe eyes her captors moodily. Jack smashes the side window of a parked car, roughly clears the aperture of fragments, and gets inside.
Get in. Give me my bag.
Derek gets in beside him. Jack extracts the ignition with a small metal device.
Got it.
He reinserts the ignition. ...8:42. Jack drives through the streets of LA. He dials on his mobile.
Listen, Derek is all right. I just need to know where you are.
I'm on the 210 at the 10.
Okay, I want you to take the 10 east to the Ontario Airport. When you get there, I want you to go to the parking lot in front of the terminal. I'll meet you on the west side of that parking lot. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
Diane, listen to me.
I am so sorry that I got you involved in this. But everything's gonna be all right. I'll be there in a few minutes, okay?
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Jack hangs up and looks at Derek, who looks away as if finding it hard to comprehend the situation.
Mr. Buchanan, this is Agent Jennings. There's no sign of Jack Bauer yet, but we've apprehended your agent, Chloe O'Brien. She's trying to escape our agents and get away from the building.
You telling me she wasn't under duress?
Not as far as I can tell.
Put her on the phone.
Uncuff her. Bill Buchanan wants to talk to you.
Hi.
Chloe, what the hell's going on?
Jack didn't kill anybody. He's being framed to cover up the real reason Palmer was assassinated.
This is according to Jack.
This is according to the man who killed Palmer. I heard his dying confession. You'll find his body at the refinery just north of the city at Varial and Topanga.
Chloe, do you have evidence that Palmer's assassination has anything to do with the summit?
No, Jack's trying to figure all that out.
How? Where is he?
I can't tell you.
Why not?
Because I don't think you believe him. I think you're just trying to arrest him.
Chloe, I'm not going to ask you again.
I'm ordering you to tell me where Jack is.
I'm sorry, I'd like to tell you, but I can't.
Chloe!
Sir,
bring her back to CTU.
Curtis, take a team to the refinery, see what you can find there. Edgar, make sure Chloe goes into a holding cell when she gets back.
8:44. Derek looks out through the side window of the car.
That woman, Chloe, she told me some stuff about what you used to do.
Yeah, well, she shouldn't have.
Why did she have to lie? Couldn't she just told us the truth?
First of all, Derek, you have to understand that I never thought anything like this could ever happen. After your mother rented me that room, I started to remember what it was like to have a family. How nice it was. I started to believe that a guy like me could actually get a second chance. I know you don't believe this now, but I really do care about you. And I care about your mother. I hope one day you can understand that.
Derek's expression remains non-committal, but he is listening. At the retreat, Martha to Logan.
Charles, Evelyn said you want to talk to me?
I do.
Did Walt find the tape of the phone call? I told him approximately when it took place.
Why don't we sit down?
No, don't want to sit down.
All right. You don't need to be concerned that there's any connection between David's death and the phone call that he made to you.
He said it was a matter of national security. Those were his exact words. There's got to be a connection, of course.
There isn't. David was killed by an unstable ex-CTU agent. This was not a conspiracy. This was one man acting out some kind of grudge.
Did you hear the call?
Marty, can we just drop this?
Did you or didn't you hear it?
Logan, unwilling but appearing sure of his ground, takes from a foam-padded attaché case a small recording device.
Martha, it's David Palmer. Did I wake you?
No, no, David, not at all. What's going on?
I need to talk to you. It's hardly a matter of national security, but I'm hosting a charity dinner next month for the Art and Action Scholarship Program.
No, that's not what he said.
Wonderful.
No, that's not it.
I would very much like you and the president to be there.
No, that is not it. That is not it, Charles. That's not it. Let me...
Martha, listen!
We'll talk more in the morning, then.
Thank you, Martha.
Of course.
Please send the president my best.
That's not what he said.
Yes, it is.
No, that is a trick. I am not crazy.
Martha! Martha!
Martha! I heard.
Listen to me.
I know what I heard.
I spoke to Dr. Hill. He said if you are not consistent with your medication, you can become disoriented. Your memory can be affected.
You said that?
Yes. That's why you remember something different. I know you don't like how these pills make you feel, but you need to take them.
If Jack was responsible for President Palmer's assassination, why would Chloe cover for him? It just doesn't make sense. There's something else going on here, and we're missing it.
NSA just intercepted some chatter identifying the summit as a target. We're sourcing it now, but the reliability is approaching 95%.
Is there a time frame?
Within the next 15 minutes.
That's when the Russian president is scheduled to land.
President Logan said he will not postpone this summit.
In light of this, he may not have a choice.
Operation.
Put me through to Mike Novick.
Yep. 8:48. A large van moves along. In the rear, the gang tool up.
I'm watching Suvorov's helicopter leave the airbase. His arrival at the retreat is on schedule.
As are we. We'll go dark now. No communication until after your strike. I will monitor your progress from here.
Understood.
No doubt, yeah.
The shadowy figure turns to a screen showing a helicopter wheeling in to land.
Mr. President.
Now, Mike, what is it?
CTU has confirmed intelligence suggesting President Suvorov's helicopter will be targeted.
How good is this intelligence?
Very good. They're updating their recommendation that you delay or reschedule it.
No, I've told them. I'm telling you, I will not postpone this summit.
And at least have Suvorov alter his arrival plan. His chopper can land at a different site and he can be brought here by motorcade. The risk would be substantially reduced.
And the impact of his arrival would also be reduced. I've got the media waiting for a landing 5 minutes from now.
Mr. President.
I don't want to hear it, Walt. It's up to Secret Service and the Air Force to protect our airspace. Make sure they do the job.
Logan heads off, pursued by a flock of aides, leaving Mike and Walt looking extremely disgruntled. 8:50, end of part three. Jack drives smartly up onto a busy airport car park. He pulls up. From a nearby car steps Diane.
There's your mom. Hey. I'm sorry about the way I treated you earlier. You're a good kid.
Derek's stare remains non-committal. Jack gives Diane and Derek a moment to embrace and then gets out of the car. Pulling on his shoulder bag, he approaches them.
Fine. You gotta tell me right now what the hell is going on here, Frank.
My name's not Frank. It's Jack Bauer. I lied to you. I lied to you about a lot of things. And I'll explain as soon as I can, but right now, you and Derek need to go to this address.
CTU?
Counter-terrorist unit. I used to work there. You need to ask for a man named Bill Buchanan and tell him I sent you. I'm sorry. I have to go.
When we get there, what do we tell him?
Tell him the truth.
Jack walks away with perhaps a suggestion of a backward glance. 8:56. He passes through the sliding glass doors of the airport terminal. He approaches the information desk.
Where can I find the baggage claim supervisor?
Down that hall to the left.
Thank you.
DOD is still giving us the all clear on the airspace on the retreat.
Audrey and Bill Buchanan look at the screen showing the arrival of President Suvorov's helicopter.
Word from our agents on the ground.
Okay. I'm all quiet so far. But if they're going to attack the helicopter, it's going to be now.
The helicopter touching down now. It will be only moments before President Logan and President Suvorov will meet face to face for the first time. Of course, there had been speculation that the summit might be postponed following the assassination of former President Palmer, but President Logan said he believes the late president would not have wanted such a vital step towards ensuring international cooperation.
The helicopter is down. The gangway is lowered. Suvorov and his wife are saluted off by a ceremonially uniformed officer. Logan strolls with exaggerated nonchalance across the manicured lawn to meet them.
President Logan, smiling broadly, extends a greeting to his Russian counterpart. No doubt President
Our intel must have been wrong.
Audrey casts a long and doubtful look at Bill. The shadowy figure with the Bluetooth stands arms crossed, looking at the news screen with a satisfied half-smile. Diane's car cruises out of the terminal car park, 8:57. She is stopped at a pedestrian crossing. She reaches across and strokes Derek's shoulder. Derek notices the gang piling out of the rear of their parked van.
Mom, do you see those men?
Yeah.
That's where Jack went.
The sinister group move into the terminal building.
Something's wrong. I have to warn Jack.
Derek, where are you going? Come back here! Derek, come back here! Derek!
Ma'am?
Come back here!
Diane is forced back into her car by the traffic cop. Inside the doorway, the leader of the gang looks at his watch and up and down the terminal as his colleagues get into position. He removes his sunglasses and heads further in. Derek runs into the terminal and looks all around. Jack moves down a corridor. He finds a doorway next to which is a small blue plate reading Chevensky. He pulls his gun and enters. A short man in blue uniform looks up from what he is doing.
Chevensky. Why was President Obama killed?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You were going to tell me what I want to know. It's just a question of how much you want it to hurt.
The gang leader has detonated the van. Diane looks on, appalled. Derek looks around him as panic breaks out. Jack goes to the door, giving Chevensky the opportunity to pop a capsule into his mouth. Jack tries to remove the poison from Chevensky's mouth, but he is dead already. The gang leader fires his automatic weapon into the air. Jack emerges from the office, his gun in his hand. In the terminal building, the gang open fire on security guards. Derek is forced onto the floor by one of the gang. Jack slips along the corridor, stops at the corner and peers round. Through the glass of the end door, he sees panicked civilians being herded along. Jack presses himself back against the wall and blinks. Derek kneels on the terminal floor. Diane runs in panic towards the terminal building but is stopped by police. Martha Logan shakes pills out from a plastic drum and swallows them with water. Chloe is escorted into CTU. Logan shakes Suvorov's hand. Edgar looks upset.
Not going to be a problem.
No. I was able to alter the tape of the phone call before the president heard it.
There's no longer any evidence on my end that Palmer was trying to warn her about the attack.
Good. The terminal and the hostages are secure. It'll only be a matter of time till the president is notified of the demands.
The shadowy figure with the Bluetooth concludes his phone conversation with Walt Cummings. Walt turns and narrows his eyes, revealing nothing of what's going on behind them. 9 a.m. The end.